The title for today's message was A Trip of a Lifetime. How many of you have taken a trip of a lifetime and you'd wish maybe that you had never gone down that road? In the very practical sense, This is the road to Hana. Several years ago, quite a few years ago, I was fortunate enough to win a trip to Maui with a company that I worked for. And if you look at all the tourist stuff, they talk about the road to Hana. And there's the Hana right, way down there. And when you start out up here somewhere, the signs that say, you know, it's, 40, 50 miles to Hana. If they really wanted to do you a favor, they would tell you that it's going to take you about 3 hours to get there. But they don't. And there's no way to turn around and go back other than to backtrack. Once we got down to Hana, I looked at Cynthia and I said, "Do you realize we have to go back?" There's not a shortcut. But that's life, isn't it? The journey of life. You go down a road and it takes you. And at times you would want to turn back, but oh, you can't. This summer, our trip to Seattle, we were coming home and talking to Lori, our daughter Lori, and she said, "Oh, you guys have to. You're in Billings, Montana. You're not that far from Yellowstone Park. You need to go down to Cook City. You've got to take that little north route and take this little road, this Beartooth All-American Road." Oh, they misnamed that totally. But anyway, and then you get, you'll just enjoy that so much. Trip of a lifetime. Again, it was one of those roads, especially when you get into this area, that, you'd wish that maybe somebody had told you that what was really ahead for you. So maybe you wanted to do that. Maybe you had the time. Talk to Wayne afterwards. He's been down that road. Maybe some of you have been there too. But that's life. That's the journey of life. It's a trip of a lifetime, right? You get one chance at it. You get one opportunity at it. What are you going to do with it? Well, again, let me say that God's Word, His Word is practical. It is very, very practical. God cares about us. So you're on this journey, it's life, and God cares about you. The Bible is a spiritual book, spiritual from beginning to end. We believe that God gave us His Word for the purpose of salvation, so that we would know God, our Heavenly Father, that we would know that there is sin in the world and there is another path that you can take on this journey of life. It's a very practical book. It speaks to us about the real world that we live in. And it speaks to us and says to us that God cares about us. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And that's what we're looking at this week, or last several weeks actually, and we're going to continue in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1. Again, the Bible, God loves us so much that He lays it out for us. And it's fairly simple. And I like the opening verses of Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "The Proverbs is Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." And we know that God gave these words to Solomon. Solomon had prayed for wisdom. And God said, "You want wisdom? I'm going to give you wisdom because you're going to need it." Verse 2. "For attaining wisdom and discipline." What's the purpose of this book of Proverbs? Right there it is. You don't have to read the book of Proverbs and wonder, what's the purpose for this? No, you can. It's right there. "For attaining wisdom and discipline." Do you need wisdom in life? Do you need discipline in life? You better be reading the Proverbs. That's the purpose for it. "For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." God cares about us. Here's a word that appeared a couple of times in that passage that I just read to you, prudent. What does that mean? It's not a common word in our language. It's not even a common word in the Bible. It appears about 19 times in all of Scripture. 17 of them are in the book of Proverbs. Prudent. To know what to do. You'd like to be prudent, wouldn't you? You want to know what to do? Oh, yes. To exercise good judgment. That's important, that we exercise good judgment. Oh, and then there's that common sense factor. Common sense. To be prudent means that you will know what to do. You will exercise good judgment, and that you will have and use common sense. Spiritually speaking, the Bible tells us about two kinds of people. Two kinds of people in Scripture. Sinners and Christians. Sinners and followers of Christ. Or, in the book of Proverbs, you could fall into these two categories, simple-minded and prudent. Sinners are disobedient to God. They don't care. They just go do their own thing. They do it how they want to, when they want to, and as often as they want to. Christians, believers in the truth of Scripture, are followers of Christ. Followers of Jesus Christ, followers of God, our Heavenly Father, and they are aware of the Holy Spirit that abides in them, that will lead them through life. Christians, followers and believers in Christ. I pray that that speaks to you today. Solomon will often talk about the simple-minded and prudent. Simple-minded people don't learn. Well, maybe they will learn, but they always take the harder path. They will always take the road to Hana. I've thought of another trip that we took years ago out in Colorado. Maybe some of you have been there. There's a little town of Cripple Creek, which is south and west of Colorado Springs, and then there's Cannon City, which is down where the Royal Gorge is. We were there on a trip, and there was a sign that said it's about 30 miles from Cripple Creek to Cannon City, and I had looked at the map, and if I knew that we wanted to get to Royal Gorge, boy, it was about a 60-70 mile route if I went the simple way. And if I wanted to go back to Colorado Springs and down, it was going to be like 130 miles. Well, time is of importance. So I decided to take the road down. Oh, yeah. It had been quicker for us to go back to Colorado Springs than around. Simple-mindedness. I saw the sign and I went, oh, yeah, let's do that. 26 miles, I can do that. They didn't tell you that it follows Cripple Creek. And you're crippled when you're done with that. With that road. It's terrible. Simple-minded. Yeah, we'll learn the lesson, but sometimes you take the hard road to get there. And then there's the prudent. The prudent. Simple-minded people sometimes just live on the swing of emotion. Here's a passage, again from Proverbs 19, verse 25. Flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke the discerning, and they will gain knowledge. Okay, that speaks to the simple-minded person, like me on a trip. The girls begged me afterwards, Dad, whenever you see a sign that says scenic route, don't ever take it. They verbally flogged me. And I learned. I learned a little prudence. But I have to sometimes take the difficult route to get to that point. But you rebuke the discerning person, the person that already has prudence, the prudent person, and they gain knowledge. There it is in Scripture, Proverbs 19, verse 25. Well, today's lesson, again, is from the very practical side, the very practical side of life. But let me say this to you, and you got to, if you don't take notes, you want to write this down. You cannot separate the practical aspect of living from the spiritual. Okay? You can't do that. Oh, you can do that. God will let you do that. But I'm telling you, if you want to live a godly, led, obedient, spiritual-filled life, you cannot, you will not put your practical experiences over here and your spiritual experiences over here and separate them out. You are being a fool. You are unwise. You are simple-minded. Why can I say that? Because I know that every one of us, we are spiritual people. We are absolutely 100% spiritual in nature. Oh, you can separate it. You can try to clean that out of your life. But you will never, never accomplish the task. There isn't a culture, there isn't a society that's ever been on the earth that doesn't believe in something bigger and better than who we are. We are spiritual beings. God put that in us. So living in a practical, real world, making life decisions, life-changing decisions, we look to Scripture. We look to Scripture. That's why God gave us Proverbs. Oh, that's He told us that in verse 2, didn't He? Oh, God, He knows us so well. He knows what we need. So Solomon's wisdom is for us to gain, yes, that wisdom and discipline. God wants us to be prudent, wise children of His. He wants us to become prudent individuals. Let's look at a few more examples from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believe anything. They're gullible. They're gullible. But the prudent give thought to their steps. Been there, done that. You've been there, done that? The simple believe anything. Let's just go for it. Let's walk off that cliff. You know, how many times your mom say to you, well, if your buddy's chopped up a cliff with you too, well, she's speaking to the simple-mindedness that you must have demonstrated in making the last decision you made. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. They step back and they look at the situation and they go, oh, I need wisdom. I need discernment. I need discipline. Let's make the right step. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Pretty simple. Easy to understand. The prudent, the wise, see danger and take refuge. They don't go down that path. They back out. They choose another way. But the simple keep going and they pay the price. Both individuals see danger. They see something's not right. They see it. They don't want to make a wrong choice initially, I'm going to say. The simple-minded, though, they just see that and they go through and they make the wrong choice. The wise person will make the right decision. They stop and they think before moving on. And the simple-minded does not. They just keep moving on. In the practical sense, the wise, prudent person knows that it's not what they see that matters. It's how they react to what they see that matters. Now, I will say to you that both of those things are important. It's important what you see. It's important how you react to what you see. But listen to the statement again. The wise, prudent person knows that it's not what they see that matters. It's how they react to what they see that matters. So let's take that in a practical sense. Some of you live in Wilmer. What do we know about the city of Wilmer? Streets are a mess, right? Be careful what road you drive down, all right? So you see a pothole, and everybody sees a pothole. You see it. Does that really matter that you see it? Yeah. But it's not until you hit the pothole that you react to it. Then you're the simple-minded. But if you see the pothole and then move around it and avoid it, you're the wise, prudent person. It's not so much what we see, but it's how we react. Because life is going to happen. You're going to see it. You're going to see an experience. You're going to see something. You're going to see an opportunity. But how do you react to it? That's the important piece. You see a pothole. Okay, that's great. But it's how you react to it which will determine any damage to your car, yes or no. Okay? Fork in the road. That's life, isn't it? That's life. Many of you already this morning have had a fork in the road. To go to church or not to go to church. And I say thank you for making the decision to come to church. The fork in the road, though, sometimes it's a big fork and sometimes it's a little fork. But all of the forks in the road are important for us. Let me give you a couple more examples of a prudent person, simple-mindedness, the comparison. A prudent person, when they find themselves facing an unhealthy relationship, they'll do something about it. They'll do something about it. They'll seek counseling. They want it fixed. They value that relationship. Maybe sometimes they just find a new friend. But a prudent person caught in that or seeing that happening will do something. A simple-minded person will do nothing. And a simple-minded person will just sit in the corner and complain and cry and gripe about the relationship. I've shared this with you before, but Cynthia and I, back in the days when we were dating, and that was a long, long time ago, one of the agreements we had with each other is that we will not complain about something. We will not complain about something if she has the power and the ability to fix it. Don't complain about a drippy faucet if you're not willing to get out of the chair and go over and just turn the handle, right? But that's the world we live in. It's easy to complain. It's easy to sit back and complain about a drippy faucet, but you have the ability to go fix it. Go fix it. Okay, that's a prudent person. A prudent person will see something like an unhealthy relationship and they'll do something about it. Get help or move on. Finances. Prudent person will make those tough choices. Simple-minded will just, whatever. Write the check, use the card, whatever. In the spiritual realm, because this is a spiritual message, when a prudent person, a wise person, realizes that their spiritual life is just a little off. God, where are you at? I'm not seeing you. I'm not reading. I'm not whatever. A prudent, wise person knows that that is the most important relationship they have in life. And they will do anything and everything they can within their own strength and power to get back. Draw me closer to God. Draw me, God. Draw me close to you. Let me experience you. God, I want you. I desire you. That's what a wise, prudent person would do. They're going to pray more. They're going to read their scripture more. They're going to connect with a fellow Christian and say, hey, I'm experiencing this. Have you ever experienced this? Let's pray for each other. That's a wise, prudent person. Find somebody to be a mentor for you. Find somebody that's an accountability person that you can just sit and have a conversation with. And you know that they're going to speak back to you the truth of Scripture. And that's important. God is the most important thing in your life. And a prudent, wise person will want to fix it. If they are sensing that they are out of step, they're not being obedient to the truth of Scripture. The Holy Spirit comes alongside you and says, hey, knock it off or move a little bit over here. You shouldn't have said that. Whatever it is that you sense the Holy Spirit saying to you, it's important. It's important that you're seeking Scripture, wanting to be obedient to what God is saying to you. Look at this. I found this slide the other day. God does not guide those who want to run their own life. That's very true. It's in the Bible. You can tell God to leave you alone, and guess what? He'll leave you alone. He will leave you alone. And he'll let you... Well, no, I was going to say he is going to let you go to hell. No, because you've done that. By saying no to God, you've done that. But God is a God of love, and He's a God of care and compassion. Yes, I understand that. But Scripture also tells us that God does not guide those who want to run their own life. Tell God to leave you alone, and He'll leave you alone. And I hope you have fun. I hope you find some enjoyment in something. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to find it. You absolutely are not going to find it. You are believing a lie. You are a simple-minded person. Well, what's involved in moving from being simple-minded to being a prudent, wise person? You want God. You want God. And you need to get God. And He's there to be had. He wants to embrace you. He wants to lead you. He wants to love on you. He wants you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Something is out of step in your life. That's the first place to go. God. Course correction. Moving from simple-minded to a prudent person. Scripture. What does the Bible tell us? Do something. Do something. Your spiritual house, your life is on fire. A simple-minded person would just sit back and let it burn. Oh, I've got insurance. That's just stuff. No, you're given one life to live. And what's done for Christ is what will last. Do something. Do something. Get help. That relationship, find new friendship. Apologize. Finances, bite the bullet. Spiritual, pick up your Bible. Read it. Read it. Here's another truth. And sometimes being the wise, prudent person, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Okay? It's not always easy. It's not always easy. Because if you're a simple-minded person, you just accept and believe anything and everything that's around you. And now you're going to come into being wise. You're looking at Scripture and you're going to say, oh man, you know, if I move from those bad friends, those bad relationships to new, I understand that that's good for me, but I don't like being alone. It's going to cost you being alone. You're going to have to be alone for a while until God brings you new friends or you go out and seek new godly friends. It will cost you something. Maybe you'll have to give up your free time. Maybe you'll have to rearrange your schedule. Make room for those things that are of God. It will cost you something moving from a simple-minded person into being a wise person. About 5-6 years ago, a missionary was here speaking. He's a Somali Christian. We're trying to get him to come back here next summer. But I remember a piece of his story. When he left the Muslim, I hate to call it a religion, but you know what I'm saying, and became a follower of Christ, he spent 7 years in isolation. 7 years. He was afraid to talk to any of his Muslim family friends about his new experience in Christ because he knew that they would kill him. And to go out into the community and find Christian friends, and they would see that that's where he was. So he spent 7 years in isolation. Do you think being a follower of Christ cost that man something? Oh, sure it did. But yet we won't give up an evening to go do something that's God-worthy. Anyway, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It may even cost you a piece of your reputation. You probably needed a new one anyway. It can be hard on your emotions. In my life, I have had to make a few course corrections in life. And I will say to you that very seldom, if ever, has it happened that I've been able to make those corrections without tears. Without tears. It's going to cost you to move from simple-mindedness to wisdom, to prudence, to pay attention to the power of Scripture, especially the wisdom that's given to us in the book of Proverbs. It's going to cost you. But I will also say to you that after the tears are done, there's great joy. Great joy. Great peace. Oh, thank you, God. Here's a real little one. It's not my notes, but we have a couple minutes for this little story. I've been thinking about getting a different truck, and it just doesn't work out. So I'm very glad God's blessed me with that truck. It's been a great thing for me. But on Facebook the other day, there was a truck, and it was 2 years actually older than mine, but less miles. And I thought, well, for a little bit of money, I could you know, downgrade to upgrade, whatever. Troubled by all of that, and Friday morning, I took some time and drove to Atwater to look at the truck. And on the way, I'm praying, okay, God, you know, make this happen. Don't, you know, whatever, God. This is on you. This is on me. I'm going to make the choice, but God, I want to hear from you. Anyway, when I pulled into the lot where the truck was, immediately, just as clear as whatever, it was like, oh, no, don't do this. This isn't for you. What did I see? I saw the tailgate on the truck, and it was rusted just like mine. The pictures on Facebook showed it looked like a nice truck. It was like, this truck. And the man who was selling it had worked for Kent's Auto Body, and in my mind, see, I'm assuming things. This man is, he's bondoed this baby in, and it's painted. It's perfect. Huh. I walked into his business, and he said, here, you're here to look at the truck. And I said, yeah, I'm here to look at the truck, but I'll tell you right now, I don't want it. It's not for me. And he looked at me kind of funny, and I said, yeah. I said, why don't you come outside and look at what I'm driving? He saw my truck, and he goes, that's pretty nice. I said, yeah, I'm going to keep it. Okay? All right? So there you go, simple-mindedness. God stepped in and took my simple-mindedness and gave me a little wisdom. You know? I'm driving a good truck. It's God's blessing. Hallelujah. And we still have some money in the bank. Whew. That's a win-win. That's a win-win. Be content with whatever God's got you doing. Okay? As long as it's in His will, be content. Well, be watchful. Prevention is priceless. My father-in-law, Cynthia's dad, he was a check-the-oil kind of guy. Okay, if you came to their place at one of the girls or something, he would always say, check the oil in your car. When was the last time you changed the oil in the car? Even after he gave that car to Beth, and Beth had been driving it for a couple years, Beth would go visit him in the nursing home. One of the first things out of Joe's mouth was, Beth, when was the last time you changed the oil in the car? That was Joe. He was just a check-the-oil kind of a guy. He was into prevention. Why? Because he had lived the simple-mindedness of life when you didn't pay attention to those things, and it really costed you a lot. It cost a lot of money. Prevention. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and that's very, very true. Cars have gauges. And some cars have the little lights that they call idiot lights. Okay? Why? Because those are for simple-minded people. Hope you know a good repairman. Okay? Well, God gives us gauges, and He gives us idiot lights. Okay? And they're all in Scripture. Pay attention to them. Pay attention. And as you read Scripture, the wise, prudent person is going to be looking at the gauges. And they're not waiting for the little light to come on to say, oops, too late. Pay attention to what's happening in your life. And the wise, prudent person will be watchful. They're looking for the potholes. They're looking for the things out there that are going to mess them up. And they're going to take steps of prevention. Why? Saves a lot of pain. Saves a lot of pain in life. Well, it's a spiritual message. God's word is practical. Pick it up, use it. Let it speak to you. It is spiritual. Number one, it is a spiritual book. It speaks to us on the level of relationships. The friendships you have, one bad apple does spoil the whole bunch. That's life. Be careful of the friends that you keep. Moral. Are you living a morally pleasing life. Read the Bible, let it speak to you. Read the Bible, let it speak to you. Draw me close, God. Why? Because I want to worship you and I want to obey you. Physical. Okay, are you taking care of yourself? Suck it in. Okay, the older I get, the more important that is. The older you get, the more important that is. Amen? Okay. Yeah. Take care of your body. Why? Because God's Word speaks to that element. You don't have to wait for the Mayo Clinic to come out with some study. Pick up your Bible and read it. It will speak to what we should and how we should be taking care of our physical being. Financial? Absolutely. Read the Bible. It tells you what to do with the first fruits of your paycheck. It tells you how to spend the rest of your money. Prioritize. God's Word is practical. The book of Proverbs is a very practical book. Number one, though, it is a spiritual book. It speaks to where you're living your life. It speaks to where I'm living my life. Remember this. A prudent, wise person reads God's Word, will ask God for help, and we'll take action. We'll be obedient. We'll be obedient. Take action. I'm going to say that probably all of us from time to time will fall into one of those two categories, right? You're either a prudent person or you're a simple-minded person, depending on the event in your life. God wants us all to be prudent, wise people. That's why He gave us the book of Proverbs. That's Scripture. Salvation. Forgiveness of your sin. That hope of spending eternity with Him is for the prudent, wise, spiritually God-centered person. Read God's Word. You'll ask God for help. You'll take action. You will connect yourself with a circle of believers. You will challenge each other on that spiritual level more than you will on whether or not you mowed your yard yesterday or not. It's very, very important. It's the truth of Scripture. A prudent, wise person, again I'll say, reads God's Word, will ask God for help, and will take action. And you know what? A wise, prudent person might also ask somebody else for help. Hey, I need your help. I need you to pray for me. Things are kind of rough. They're tough. Whatever it is, don't be a simple-minded person and just sit and go through life. Desire to be obedient to God's Word. Be this prudent person. Read His Word, ask Him for help, and take action. Will you be a prudent person today? Will you be a prudent person today? You're also polite. If you're a prudent person, stand up. See, look around. Look around. Okay? You've all made a confession of being a prudent person. And now the challenge for us is to leave this place and to seek God's best. Will you do that? Let's pray. Father, your word is, it's so simple. It's so simple. You love us. You look down upon us and you see simple-mindedness. But you desire to move us from being simple-minded to being prudent, wise. And you give us the tools to do it. It's right there in your word. It's around us in friendships that are based on you. Like faith, believing in the truth of Scripture. It's there for each and every one of us. Father, on this day, let us leave this place. We've taken the confession of being a prudent person. Father, let it be lived out in our lives today. We love you. We believe in the truth of Scripture. The words of this song that we sang. Father, we desire to draw closer to You. And we know the truth of Scripture says that when we do that, You will draw close to us. Father, let us experience You in amazing ways today and throughout this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be a blessing to someone.